sat in the chair as the doctor broke the news. It could be a week, a month, or maybe two. The cancer has spread. Death will find its way. There's nothing we can do. Nothing I can say.
Let's see, ushers, if you help us with the handout, please. Tonight, number 32, they'll bring that your way. And in your Bibles, to Proverbs 24. We're going to look at two living wisely principles this evening. We're a little bit later than usual getting into the lesson, but that's all right. We'll trim it from 3 to 2. We may only do one, depending on time. But it's been good tonight to already be here. I've enjoyed the presentation from Brother Emmanuel, and my heart was blessed through his testimony. I really was. To think of a 12-year-old boy being a witness, that's an exciting thing, and rejoice with him getting in his salvation. I think he would like for you to take his prayer card. Amen. So he said, I don't know if you understand him or not, he's going to send 10. You don't take one, he's going to send 10 to your house, all right? But anyway, get the prayer card from him tonight. We're in chapter 24. Chapter 24. Everybody gets a handout that wants one. Anybody left out tonight? And right there, Brother Irvin, right in front of you, right there, Brother, there you go. There you go. All right, Brother. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you, ushers. Let's pray. Father, we're glad to have the opportunity to look into your book for a little while. Everything's been said and done so far has been a blessing, but this is probably the thing that we came here tonight to do, came here to pray, but we sure need to hear from your book. So we take these moments now to look into your word. Help me, O Lord. Give me, I pray, the exact words to say. May your spirit control our mind, our thoughts, our hearts. May the seed fall on good soil tonight. Bring forth fruit in our lives, if not now, in the future. I pray in Jesus' name. And amen. Living Wisely principle number 66 is found in chapter 24, verses 15 and 16. Look at it with me. Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. For a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. So the lesson here, number one on your sheet, the wise learn to get up after being knocked down. The wise learn to get up after being knocked down. Now, if you paid attention to the reading of those verses, you see that the teaching here is not really intended to instruct the wicked man. That's probably because, folks, that kind of person cannot be taught to begin with, all right? The teaching is intended to encourage the righteous man who is threatened by the devices of the wicked man. And Solomon wrote here, and he defied the evil intentions of the wicked man by explaining, you cannot keep a good man down. Man may get knocked down, but the just man will get back up on his feet. That's what he's teaching here. Now, there are several reasons why a saved person may get knocked down. These are not exhaustive. These are just examples. There are several reasons. On number 2A, I think about the wicked intentions of others. The wicked intentions of others. And when I think of the Bible characters that we talk about often, when I think about the wicked intentions of others, I think about Joseph. Joseph got knocked down by the wicked intentions of a lying, scorned woman who desired to have him, and he had enough character to say no. And she was scorned. And brother, when you get a woman like that, she's a bad, bad dude. Or dudette, I guess. Amen, dudette. All right? So the wicked intentions, he's knocked down. I think about Mordecai. And that, by the way, that wasn't the only time Joseph got knocked down. He got knocked down by the wicked intentions of his brothers. So he got knocked down. I think about Mordecai. There he is over there in the palace, and or Esther's in the palace, and he gets word because Haman has tricked the king into signing the death law, and the law went out that on a certain day of a certain month, all the Jews would be destroyed, and they could not, by the edict of the king, they could not defend themselves. We read the Bible like it's a fairy tale. How would you like for there to be a law passed in the United States of America that all Christians are going to be killed on a certain day in the month of October this year, and you're not allowed to defend yourself? Would that affect your family? Would that affect how you went to work the next morning? Folks, you would live every day between now and October with that reigning thought in your mind. What am I going to do? They're going to kill us, and I can't defend myself or my family. That's what happened. Mordecai gets knocked down by the wicked intentions of others. I think about Daniel in the land of Babylon, and now he can't pray because he's going to go thrown to the lion's den by the wicked intentions of others. People get knocked down by the wicked intentions of others. By the way, that happens to some people in this day and age on a different scale. That could happen to somebody, to a good man or a good woman who on the job has a Christian testimony. And people take exception to that. And they work against you. You get knocked down by the wicked intentions of others. Then I think about the loss of health and or wealth. And the girls just sang about Job and how he lost his health and how he lost all of his wealth. He got knocked down by the loss of all his health and his wealth and, of course, his family. I think about sin and temptation. People get knocked down by sin and temptation. I think about David. That's an obvious name that comes to our minds when we think about sin and temptation. The adultery and the murder. I think about Jonah, who went the other way from the command of God, got himself in a pickle. He got knocked down because of sin and temptation. I think letter D about discouragement. Discouragement. Think about Peter. Peter. And how discouraged he was after cursing and denying that he knew the Lord three times on one occasion, one night, denied that he knew the Lord three times, and now he goes back to fishing and catches nothing, and he basically quits because he's discouraged, and how discouragement got Peter knocked down. And then I didn't write this on our paper tonight, but just sometimes the experiences of life, the experiences of life can knock you down. I was reading some letters in the office tonight, before the service, some missionary letters. I mentioned reading Brother Peter's letter over in Spain. I also read Brother Gerald Meyer's letter. Jared Meyer, anybody get Brother Meyer's letter tonight? We passed it out. Anybody get that one to South Africa? Brother Luke, I don't know if you got a chance to look through it. But they announced back in November that, you know, God had moved on their hearts to go 580 miles north of Port Elizabeth, where they live and minister in South Africa, and start a new work in Pretoria. They had met a 34-year-old man who was a school principal, who's saved, who's a Baptist, he's an authority in the school system there in Pretoria, and he wanted a church there, and he had four or five families. He was engaged to be married next month. He had a brain aneurysm last month and died, 34 years of age. Their contact is dead. Their house was supposed to be sold. It's not sold. He wrote about four or five things in that letter, setbacks that have happened since they announced they were going to Pretoria to start a church. It's just one thing after another. Right now, they're knocked down. The experiences of life. Sometimes it's just the experiences of life that knock a person down. That's what happens. And so those are some of the things why, say, people get knocked down. Now, the righteous man finds a way to get back up after being knocked down. How did these men get back up? The men we mentioned in point two, on your number three on your paper, how did these men get back up? Well, for Joseph, Mordecai, and Daniel, it was finding a way to be faithful in spite of the wicked intentions of others. Finding a way to be faithful in spite of the wicked intentions of others. I won't take this long tonight to go into detail on this, but folks, think about those three men. Think about Joseph, Mordecai, and Daniel. Think about when they got knocked down because of the wicked intentions of others. Listen very carefully, okay? I know we got a lot to cover, but I don't want to skip this. They did nothing of a cataclysmic or, searching for the right word in my brain right now. Their response was not a cataclysmic response. It was not this superhuman response. You know what their response was to getting knocked down by the wicked intentions of others? They just decided to be faithful. Joseph was just faithful. They made him prisoner, and because of his faithfulness, it led to his getting back up. Mordecai was faithful not to bow to Haman, even when he knew the death sentence was hanging over his head. Daniel was faithful to pray, even though he knew it meant the lions. Just faithfulness. When you get knocked down, just being faithful will be a real help to getting back on your feet. Be faithful. I've seen that in the lives of people here. I'm watching it in the lives of some people now. Some negative things took place. They lost a job or their factory shut down. But their response is faithfulness, faithfulness, faithfulness. And faithfulness is a way that just men find to use to get back on their feet, being faithful to God. I think about Job. For Job, let her be there. For Job, it was realizing that God was watching, waiting, and working through the trial. We preached a whole message on that. You've heard it. Job was, it was realizing that in the trial, God was watching, God was waiting, and God was working. And Job realized that. And as a result, it gave him energy to get back up on his feet after being knocked down. For David and Jonah, it was finding mercy through repentance. If you get knocked down, folks, because of sin and temptation, you will find mercy when you repent, and that will lead to you getting back on your feet. For one, it was a sin of commission. David committed adultery and he committed murder. For another one, it was a sin of omission. Jonah fled from the plain command of God, do this, and he didn't do it. And they both got knocked down, and both of them, in a time of being knocked down, pled for God's mercy. And you know what? We have a merciful God whose mercy endureth forever, the Bible says. And when you and I reach out to Him in sincerity, after sin and temptation have knocked us down and repent and truly repent, God will restore us, will help us get back up on our feet. For Peter, letter D, it was understanding the love of Christ and renewing fellowship with his Lord. It was understanding the love of Christ and renewing fellowship with his Lord. You remember what Jesus did when he went to Peter and called him back into fellowship? Restored him to fellowship there by the fire on the Sea of Galilee after Peter had fished all night and caught nothing, and Jesus went after him. And Jesus, if you will, cast a net of his own and caught Peter and drew him back with bands of love, sat around the fire and began to talk to Peter and say, Peter, lovest thou me? Peter's heart was warmed. And when you get knocked down, folks, because of discouragement, one of the greatest ways to get back on your feet is to remember just how much Christ loves you. Read Romans chapter 8 and be reminded that nothing, nothing, neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ, the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Get back on your feet. The just man won't stay down. That's what Solomon is saying here. He's telling the wicked man, he's not trying to instruct the wicked man, he's basically defying the wicked man. Wicked man, your intentions are not going to work. This is a just man, and a just man, even though he may fall, he gets back up again, when we fall, number four, when we fall, there is a reason and a cause for the fall, and there is a way to get back on our feet. There's a way to get back on our feet. I want you to leave Proverbs for a minute and take your sheet with you and go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. These are some of the greatest verses defining the ministry, the life of the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Find it quickly here. And we'll probably just get through one of these lessons tonight, this first lesson, because I want to show you some other verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. This is Paul talking here, and he says, "We are troubled," verse 8, "we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus." You know what Paul says here? There is a difference in being knocked down, but not knocked out. You can get knocked down, but you don't have to get knocked out. That's what Paul is saying here. Man, I'm troubled on every side, but I'm not distressed. I'm perplexed, but I'm not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not I'm knocked down. But I'm not knocked out. Our back is on the mat, but I'm not pinned. I don't know how many times I watched my brother wrestle. I go to those wrestling meets to watch, especially when our high school hosted the regionals for that part of Atlanta and Georgia. And one year, and Tim was in that wrestling meet, and it was four wrestling mats on the floor, four matches going at one time. Some of you have been there and seen those high school wrestling meets. I sat in the bleachers and watched those wrestlers wrestle. Boy, how many times did one of them get his back on the mat and the guy was trying to pin him, trying to push him down with all of his might. And somehow, some way, that guy just held on until the minute ended or whatever. Is it 3 1-minute rounds or something like that? Or 3-minute rounds, I forget what it was. But he didn't get pinned. And boy, when the next round started, he jumped on that guy and pinned him. That's what Paul is saying here. My back is to the mat, but my shoulders aren't pinned. A just man falls. That happens. Through the wicked intentions of others. Through the losses of life. Through sin and temptation. Through discouragement. Through the experiences of life. A just man gets knocked down, but he doesn't stay down. He gets back up. And Paul said, Solomon said, a just man falleth 7 times. What's he mean? Is that just okay after he falls 7 times? That's it. If he falls an 8th time, he's done? No. That number 7 is the number of completion. It's like when Peter asked Jesus, if a man asked me to forgive him 7 times, do I forgive him 7? What'd Jesus say? He said 70 times 7. Okay, this is just a number of perfection, a number of completion. What Solomon is saying here, if the just man falls 7 times, yet rises again, then obviously he has to get up 7 times. He falls once, he gets up a time. He falls again, he gets up. The teaching is that a just man, a righteous man, will fall, but that's not the end of his experience. The end of his experience is that he completes the fall by getting up again. So every time he falls, he gets up. And he gets up. And he gets up. And he gets up. And so much of the Christian life is just a matter, like Brother Hemphill preached the first Wednesday night of this month, keep going. Keep going. You keep going. You keep going. When you fall down, you get up. You find a way to get up. You're in the New Testament. I want you to look at an example of this here. John Mark is a great example. Many of you know this, but there might be some here that have never seen this. So let me go to Acts chapter 12. We're going to turn to 3 or 4 places quick in our New Testament. Acts chapter 12. And look at verse 12 and 25. Acts chapter 12, verses 12 and 25. Well, I'll begin reading in verse number 12. "And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark." So this is Peter gets out of prison. He comes to John Mark's house. Okay? So John Mark is in an important place here in the city of Jerusalem. So Peter comes to John Mark's house. Look at verse 25. "And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark." So here goes Paul and Barnabas on a missionary journey, and they take with them John Mark. Look at chapter 13, verse 5. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister. Look at verse 13, same chapter. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, by the way, John Mark was their minister. He was their servant. That's exactly what Brother Oswardy is doing next week for Jim Vineyard in Israel. He's flying from Russia. He's going to go just be Jim Vineyard's servant for a week while he's ministering in Israel. That's what John Mark is doing for Barnabas and for Paul. Okay. Now look at verse number 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. So he quit. He quit. You say, well, how do you know he quit? Maybe he had to go home, because we keep reading John Mark's story. Look at chapter 15 and verse 36. Chapter 15 and verse 36. Paul and Barnabas are getting ready to go on another missionary journey. Verse 36, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city. For sake of time, look at verse 37. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them in Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. So John Mark's reason for leaving was not a good one. He walked away. Barnabas said, we're taking John, taking Mark. And Paul said, no, we're not. We've been through there, been there, done that. Look at verse 39. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed. This contention over John Mark was so sharp, it split up this missionary team. Paul and Barnabas. Unbelievable. I look over at 2 Timothy chapter 4. We don't hear much about Mark until we get over to the 2 Timothy chapter 4, which is the last chapter in the life of the Apostle Paul, just about almost the last chapter of his life. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 11, actually verse number 9, he tells Timothy, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. And here's why, verse 10, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, departed unto Thessalonica, Croesus to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Whoa, do what, Paul? Bring who? Bring Mark? He's profitable? He's beneficial? What in the world happened? Folks, I don't know all that's happened because the Bible is silent on it, but I do know this. John Mark walked off the job. He got knocked down. Paul said, I don't want that man around me. Kind of had the attitude, I don't like quitters. But when at the end, he told Timothy, he said, bring Mark. He's profitable to me. I don't know what happened, but I know this. Mark got back up on his feet. Mark got back up on his feet. I'm glad with God there's not only a second chance, there's a third chance, a fourth chance, a fifth chance, a sixth chance. There's a chance every time you get knocked down if you just get back up again. Just get back up again. Get back up again. There's been things since I was saved 41 years ago that I got knocked down. I learned that in Bible college. I got knocked down in Bible college. Got knocked down in the boys' home. Knocked down in Bible college. Knocked down in those 10 years in Iowa. Knocked down in these 26 plus years here. At faith. I don't know what to do, folks. Just get back up. Just get back up. Just get back up. And so that's what Solomon is saying. Solomon is not trying to instruct the wicked man. He's trying to tell the wicked man, I know you got all your intentions, and I know you got all your devices, but I want to warn you, all of your intentions and all of your devices, they may knock that righteous man down, but they will not keep him knocked down. He will get back up on his feet. He will find a way, whether it's through faithful obedience, whether it's through its trusting God, knowing that God is watching, working, and waiting, if it's through mercy, asking for repentance, or asking for God's forgiveness through repentance, if it's just realizing the love of Christ and renewing fellowship with the Lord, the just man finds a way to get back up on his feet and keep going for the glory of God. And I don't know who's knocked down in this room tonight. But I will promise you, every week of this church's existence, somebody in this church family is knocked down. And for the most part, I've enjoyed watching God's people get back up on their feet. Get back up on their feet. And get back up on their feet. The wise learn to get up after being knocked down. Now, some of you young men, you young ladies, I'm talking about the elementary school. You may not understand this yet, but you give it a little time and you will. You'll understand what it means to get knocked down as you try to serve the Lord. The Bible says when you get knocked down, the righteous man and woman finds a way to get back up. Finds a way to get back up and keep going. That's all we'll have time for, or take time for tonight. Keep your lesson or your sheet. We'll get on to it in a couple of weeks. Let's stand together and ask the Lord's blessing on the lesson and the service tonight. Father in heaven, I thank you for this exhortation that Solomon put into the book of Proverbs. I thank you, God, for the encouragement it gives to me. I thank you for the encouragement it gives to your people. Lord, it is obvious nobody's going to go through the Christian life without getting knocked down. But we don't have to stay knocked off of our feet. I pray that you'll help us to find a way, some way, the right way to get back up on our feet and keep going. Lord, call us to that, call us like John Mark, call us back to that place of profitability and beneficiality. Help us to keep moving for the glory of God. Thank you, Lord, that the race does not go to the swift, doesn't always go to the fastest or the strongest. It goes to the one who is filled with the power of God and the might of God, and who, as the tortoise, just puts one step in front of the other and keeps on for the glory of God till the finish line approaches. God, help us all to be faithful. Learn to get back up when we get knocked down. I pray in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, give us a song of invitation. Briefly tonight, we'll have a couple of announcements.